Hey there. You can take Alt Latino and so much more anywhere you go with the NPR One app. NPR One finds you the best from public radio and beyond. Election essentials, local stories, and your favorite podcast. NPR One is ready when you need to take a trip, or when you're waiting in line, or waiting for a friend. NPR One is in your app store. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This week, a guest DJ with the artist that we're hearing right behind us. Her name is El Juri. She is here in the studio with us. Thank you for coming.
Sí, señor. Thanks for having me.
This is the title track from her new album. We're going to hear a little bit of it, and then we're going to come back and talk guitar players this week.
Wee!
Yeah, because she's a phenomenal guitar player, along with everything else. Check it out. Mi guitarra. It's like the song says. That was La Lucha, title track from the album from El Juri, who is Cecilia Villar El Juri, right?
That's right.
She is with us in the studio today, and we're talking about her new record, and we want to talk a little bit about her history and where she's been and what she's doing. But mainly we're here to talk guitar players.
Not about my hair?
No. And when you go to our website, you'll be able to see what we're laughing at. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are originally from Ecuador.
Guayaquil, Ecuador, nacida. I was born in Guayaquil, Ecuador, but I came as a baby girl. My parents brought me. We're immigrants, yes. And I was raised in New York City. I'm a Latin from Manhattan, basically. Yeah.
You're a songwriter, you're a vocalist.
Yes.
You're a guitar player, but specifically you're a lead guitar player. How did you get to the guitar, and when did that start?
That's a great question. My mother's a pianist, and songwriting was always part of my whole upbringing. She's a composer, whatever. And I found the guitar, and I was like, wow, I can sing, write a song, play guitar, all by myself, kind of be my own orchestra. So I kind of gravitated towards the guitar, and it was portable, and I could go play it anywhere. So then that became my main instrument after the piano, and I never turned back. Once I bought an amp, it was all over.
You just kept going.
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
I would say about 12, 13. I was messing with acoustic guitars, and then it was, I discovered the electric and loved both, but then it's a whole different territory. You're talking amps and pedals and all that fun stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All the gadgets, the gear.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit now about how you found your particular voice, your particular style of music, because I hear a lot of stuff that's mixed in. I hear some Latin influences, but also a lot of rock and some jazz. You know, where did all these influences come from?
Well, I have a little surprise for you.
Uh-oh.
I have some albums here that
oh my gosh.
Are from my dad.
Oh.
My dad was a lover of music. He's an actor. Let me just hand them to you. Be careful, because the first one, the sleeve is falling out.
Okay.
So we have very incredible albums from my dad that we listen to at home that are like Afro-Cuban, mostly, a lot of them. And there's like an old Tito Puente there, and there's Mr. Bongo, and there's a killer cucumbia.
This is an amazing collection of vinyl. Look at all this.
You know, so I acquired my dad's records.
Look at this. There is...
That cumbia record from Colombia is like incredible.
This is, and there's Con el Ritmo de Cachao.
Cachao,
the great bass player.
And Orquesta Aragón, the original Orquesta Aragón. There have been many versions.
Machito,
of course.
So that is where you're
That's
musical.
one big influence.
Right.
And my mother's a pianist, tangos, boleros, valses, pasillos. But then, of course, I grew up in New York with brothers and sisters taking me to clubs and listening to rock.
Sure.
And reggae and punk and funk. So it all kind of found its way into my veins and into my music.
And it's a very typical story, too, because New York is that mm-hmm. is that melting pot. And it goes the other way, too, because a lot of musicians, the funk musicians, the rock musicians, they absorb some of that music that was coming from the Latino neighborhoods and Latino communities.
No question.
Yeah, going the other way.
No question.
Okay, so what we did this week is, you know, guest DJ situation is where we invite people to come in and bring songs that have influenced them or that they're listening to or songs that they wish they recorded, mm-hmm. whatever the theme is. And so when we were setting this up, I said, why don't we have her bring in some guitar players, okay? Some songs from guitar
that
players.
That I admire.
Yes. So we're going to start off. Tell us about the first one you brought in.
So as I was saying, I grew up playing in clubs in New York, like CBGBs and places like that. And there was this mentor I had that it was a reggae musician. And he heard me play early on, scratching it out, you know, and he said, wow, you sound like Ernie Isley, your style. And I'm like, cool. So then I poured myself into more Ernie Isley stuff.
Ernie Isley being from the Isley Brothers. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, they had another major hit with this song that we're hearing in the background. Who's That Lady?
Killer guitar.
Oh my
Killer.
Gosh. Listen to that tone. Listen.
Ooh.
You say, look, yeah, but don't touch, baby. No, don't touch.
So you're talking my era, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I was like in junior high school when this came out. And, you know, it's the tone, the guitar, the approach, it was for a lot of people back then, it was like a nod to like being a Jimi Hendrix successor in a way.
Cool.
Because of his tone and the way he did. And in fact, Jimi Hendrix played with the Isley Brothers early on.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
and so...
And Buddy Guy, you could hear too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that, and it's one of those instances where they had an R&B and funk band doing electric guitar, which you know, in a rock style.
Yes,
which
he's
didn't
wailing
always happen.
Like a rock.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
With this soulful funkiness.
One of my favorite guitar solos. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break from the music to remind you to check out the podcast from NPR's Fresh Air. I don't have to remind you how many amazing people Terry Gross has interviewed. And since we're talking about guitar players today, you have to check out her recent interview with Bruce Springsteen. Find these and other interviews on the Fresh Air podcast on the NPR One app and at npr.org/podcast. Now, back to these guitar players.
Funky wah, too.
You know, what's curious about your career and what you do is that, first of all, you know, there isn't a long tradition of female guitar players, female
That's
lead
true.
Players. Okay?
So true.
There are a few along the way that stand out, but it's as far as like it seems to be like a very macho thing, right?
Yeah.
But
that's not fair. We have to share.
You have to share.
It's fun.
and also good, lead guitar players like that from that era doing that kind of thing, coming from Latin America. You know, I don't know, besides Carlos Santana, who came out of Mexico, that there were a lot of musicians who were as popular over here as they were in their part of the world.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're doing your music, when you travel throughout Latin America, and how is it received in terms of, you know, just the style that you do, but also the fact that you're up there wailing on guitar?
Oh, it's great. It's I always feel like open arms and everything, and it's not all. It, I mean, I do still get the, you know, the guy on stage going, "Do you need help? You know, tuning up, or do you know where to plug it in?" And then, you know, the sound man or whatever. And then once I start playing, it's all over. But that's good. But generally, it's great because I don't think people are like, "Oh, looking at me strange at all." It's when I played in traditional hardcore Latin scene where I'd pull out an electric solo that people looked a little funny. But other than that.
We'll talk a little bit about that. So when you were doing the hardcore Latin scene, what kind of music was that?
It wasn't even that I was doing it. I was always a fusion-oriented artist, but I was sometimes in festivals, like, you know, where it was like everybody was traditional, and then I was like the token Latin rock girl. And a lot of people were like, you know, we're listening to merengue for an hour, and then I come on stage, and then they went on to Tejano after me, and so I kind of stuck out a little.
Does it make it difficult for you then to try to find a place for yourself in the music scenes?
Not anymore.
What changed?
I think because I went solo. I don't know. I don't know what the trigger was, but I think the fusion is organic, and so I guess it just kind of seems to flow well in different places.
Yeah, and it could also be that, you know, that the audiences are listening to there's so many sources of music.
Great
now.
Great point.
You know, and that they're listening to all kinds of different things.
The world has, it's more global, you're right. And yeah, because of the internet and all the streaming and everything.
I think people have bigger ears now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
So let's hear a track from your record. This is one of my favorite cuts because I really like the solo. This is called Luz Roja. Tell us about the song.
Luz Roja, it kind of is a psychedelic kind of approach, and musically. And I wanted a lot of driving instrumentation around the guitar so that the guitar could float more, which is the opposite of what I do a lot of times. So like the bass is holding down the stuff, and we have, you know, my keyboards that I've added are more the kind of steady rhythm pattern with, of course, the killer drums and percussion. A little bit of my Lebanese Arabic influence too.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're gonna come back to that.
Toi.
Luz Roja from the new album La Lucha from El Hudi, who's in the studio with me today. There's a lot of drama in your guitar solo. It just builds and builds.
That means the world to me.
Yeah. It you go places and you take it places where there's a lot of emotion.
So that's, thank you, Felix. Yeah.
So just before the song, you talked about your Lebanese background. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, my mom is, the name El Hudi, in fact, because my mother is the El Hudi side, is Lebanese. It was El Hudi, and that her family moved to Ecuador. I think she was born on the boat. And so I have the you know, some food and some of the Lebanese culture. The love of the arts comes from Lebanon. My family in Ecuador, I have aunts that are ballerinas. My grandmother's a singer, my mother pianist. So that whole love of the arts and the influences on this particular song, you could hear a little the dumbek, you hear just the pulse of the song is very Arabic, drony, kind of the drony thing.
Sure.
But also always with rock. I can't help it.
Yeah. We were earlier talking about female guitar players, we're gonna make that transition now. Tell us about this track.
My brothers and sisters turned me on to the heart. But I remember seeing a picture of Nancy Wilson with a red and white Strat. And I was like, I need to get a... So my first guitar was a black and white Strat, just because Nancy had a red and white.
Oh, my gosh.
And because I could find one.
Right.
A used one that I could afford. So Nancy Wilson, goddess.
Nancy Wilson and Heart. This is their song, Crazy on You. Okay, so we're talking about guitar players, so we have to talk about Jimi Hendrix.
Absolutely. It's a must. What he was doing, nobody was doing, but both on stage and in the studio. What I love about Jimi, besides the fact that when he sings and plays, it's kind of intertwined, which is magic, it's also what he did in the studio, how he panned things, how he, his overdubs, all his palette of instrumentation around using the guitar. That's one of the biggest inspirations for me.
Imagine that you can take the electricity coming out of the wall, right?
Uh-huh,
And you can mold it and create art that you can both see and hear.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Because it's so vibrant. Mm-hmm. It's just so, it's so electric, you know, pardon the expression. But, you know, it is just
yes.
So, there's so much energy and there's so much, like the buzz, the tone, everything. Imagine that. And then that's what you get with a Jimi Hendrix solo.
And you could pick any song, but...
So, but you picked...
I picked Cross Center Traffic, Being a City Girl. It's like the vibe of the city through an electric guitar.
You tell me it's all right. You don't mind a little pain. You say you just want me to take you. you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam straight up ahead. You're just right. So hard to get through to you.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience on Alt Latino.
Oh, that's awesome. You feel the energy of the traffic when you hear him play.
We are in the studio here with El Judy, who's talking to us about guitar players and about her new record. So let's go back to your career for a second.
Sure.
How do you see your music progressing from your first album to where you are now with this new record?
You know, I always service the song because I'm a songwriter first and happen to play guitar and happen to sing. So to me, I feel like the arrangements and the songs on the new record are really, really strong. I was trying to push myself, so I feel there's growth there. And most importantly, it sure is a lot of fun to play.
And do you feel like your skills, or at least the way you express yourself, are growing in a way that matches your maturity as a person?
I think so, especially with kind of this being more introspective record. So that's like, the lyrics are more about acceptance. And then once you understand the situation, then you could fight the injustice, as opposed to Fuerte, which was like, just pump your fist up in the air. So there's maturity there lyrically. But also, I was trying to explore more cinematic kind of sound with my guitar palette, as well as with some of my arrangements on this record, which are past my maybe normal comfort zone, which was good. Yeah.
It's always good to push yourself like that. We have a couple more we want to play. And you brought in a Santana track. And you may have heard from Elena Rodrigo, who travels with you.
Yes.
Working with you in publicity, that I'm a Santana fan. So you brought in the track Soul Sacrifice from Woodstock, which is powerful in and of itself, right? You'll be able to see that on our website, because I'm not going to play it right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to, if you don't mind, can I play one of...
I love them all.
So there is an album called Oneness that made. Yeah, and it's around the time when he was very much into his spiritual development, okay? And he made this album, and the title track has one of my favorite guitar solos on it. Check this guitar solo out. Thank you.
I want to hear that again.
He was
sabrosísimo.
Right?
Wow. So tasteful.
Yeah. Before we go, we have one more track that we're going to do. But before we go, tell us a little bit more about what you hope to do with this record. And then, like, what's next for you? Like, more records, touring, what are you going to do?
Well, the record is fresh. So it's really about now taking it around, performing it live in Canada, in Mexico. In fact, that's my next tour this year, is in Mexico. And a lot of the cities in the States, and maybe back to Colombia too. I mean, I want this record to be heard, and I want it to hopefully energize people, empower people towards change. I definitely really want to encourage people to listen to it for, you know, in the U.S., with what we're going through, the Latinos, you know, united, we're really powerful. There's a lot of us here now, mm-hmm. and we can really use our voice. And that's hopefully what this songs can inspire people to use their voice, because that's what I'd like.
Music is an agent of change.
Absolutely. Everybody's got a voice, too. And and if we can be instruments of change for the better, hey, let's do it.
Well, you know, Bob Dylan was recently announced the Nobel winner of literature.
That's really great.
As a musician.
Yes.
So that speaks volumes about what it is your own message is about.
Yeah, I hope to inspire others as I've been inspired.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia Villar El Jury, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Felix.
Thanks for being part of the show. You know, and I do have to point out that we used you on our Christmas show a few years ago.
Yes.
When we talked about Christmas traditions.
Yes, one of my mother's songs.
Yes, that's right. So you've been part of Alt Latino history. So thank you for being here, and we look forward to playing more stuff. Okay, so what do you have? What's the last track?
So I thought, you know, I'd go with somebody contemporary, one of the great newer guitar players, Gary Clark Jr.
This is Gary Clark Jr., Bright Lights. I do want to remind you that you can hear all the songs we play today on our website at npr.org/altlatino. My name is Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thank you for listening.
Paz.